All right, I'd like to call the July meeting of the Montville Inland Wetlands Commission to order. We have Commissioner LeClaire, Iacolini. Majewski, sorry. And Commissioner Rochko is on the phone. First order of business, approval of the minutes of the June 12, 2025 regular meeting. There's one minor misspelling in there. My name was misspelled on page 9 or something. So that just needs to be amended. So can I get a motion to approve the minutes of the June 12th meeting as amended?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Okay. Commissioner LeClaire made the motion. Commissioner Majewski seconded it. Any discussion? All in favor, do a roll call vote. Commissioner LeClaire?
Aye.
Commissioner Rochko?
Approve.
Approve.
Commissioner Majewski?
Approve.
And I approve, so motion carries unanimously. Public hearing, 375 Maple Avenue. I'm sorry, 25 IC 11, Maple, 375 Maple Avenue and Route 163, Oxbow, Connecticut. Rand Whitney for regular activities in conjunction with development of a proposed trailer storage facility and elimination of an intermittent water course created by storm discharge. Just want to say that this is really one, it's not here because it's any major thing. It's just the regs require it, in my opinion. So.
Okay, so Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer, for the record. On June 26, 2025, myself and Assistant Planner Meredith Badaluca conducted a site visit and took photos of the site as it currently exists. Page number 5 on the attached inspection report shows the area of the wetlands, and page number 6 shows the current location of the drainage pipe as it currently sits in the field. On July 14, 2025, final comments were received from Ian Cole, certified soil scientist, on behalf of the town of Montville, a copy of which is also attached. Mr. Cole states in part, quote, while the proposed activity is significant in the fact it will be relocating a man-made water course and will result in the permanent filling for a water course, it likely will not have a major effect or negative impact due to the nature of the subject feature and the inclusion of design features which will replace and or has the opportunity to enhance the existing functions of the water course slated to be relocated, end quote. He also states that being that this application was referred to the United States Army Corps of Engineers and based on prior experience, the jurisdictional determination can take up to a year or more to receive a formal ruling. Quote, if the commission approves the application to allow the project to move forward with a planning and zoning application, the project will still need to secure all applicable state and federal regulatory approvals prior to construction. Attorney Harry Heller is here on behalf of the applicant for a presentation and or to answer any questions that the commission may have.
Good evening. For the record, Harry Heller, 736 Route 32 in Uncasville, representing the applicant, Rand Whitney Realty, LLC. With me this evening to assist in the presentation is Robert Russo, our certified soil scientist and wetland scientist from CLA Engineers, as well as Darren Hayward, the design civil engineer for the project from CLA Engineers. You have before you the plans that delineate a project which will result in the development of a trailer storage facility on the easterly side of Maple Avenue. The property is comprised of two parcels. The first is 375 Maple Avenue, which is about a 2.9 acre parcel located on the easterly side of Maple Avenue. And other than the intermittent water course that we're going to talk about in a few minutes, this parcel is all uplands. The second parcel that does not have a street number because it doesn't have any buildings on it is located between 375 Route 163 and Route 163 to the east. This parcel is a little over 20 acres, a majority of which is encompassed either by Oxabaxo Brook or Rockland Pond. Rockland Pond is a water body that is created by an impoundment. If you look at sheet two of your plans, you can see at the westerly edge of the designated flood zone, you have the Rockland Pond Dam, which impounds water to create the pond. And Oxabaxo Brook, by impoundment, created that pound and then flows over the dam and further to the east under Robertson Road and then under the Rand Whitney Manufacturing Facility along the westerly side of Route 163. On sheet two of the plan, you have the area of the intermittent water course, which is in white, and that is created by the outfall from a stormwater drainage culvert without any outlet protection. So it outlets the end of the pipe, and it flows generally in an easterly direction until it meets the culvert at Robertson Road and enters the brook at that point and flows under the road. Also in this area is one of the main sewer mains for the town of Montville sanitary sewer system, which is supported by a valid easement and bisects the property generally from a west to east direction. And you will see on the east side of the property, it is designated concrete sewer encasement. So there is a structure there that a portion of the sewer facilities is supported by. Now, one of the concerns that was raised in the review process is the fact that as a result of this uncontrolled discharge from the stormwater system, water is infiltrating into the sanitary sewer line, which is a problem for the WPCA. So if the development which we are proposing in this application is approved, that will be alleviated and the water will no longer be flowing along and over the sanitary sewer system, and it will remove that infiltration. So the second regulated resource involved in this application is Rockland Pond, which is located westerly of the impoundment between the brook itself and Route 163. And as the water flows over the dam, it's in a water course, Oxabaxo Brook, which flows easterly. On sheet two, what is highlighted in blue is not wetland. What is highlighted in blue is the 100-year federal flood hazard area. The upland review area adjacent to this resource is designated by the blue line on the sheet. So we have in gray an upland review area located southerly of the resource, the riparian resource associated with Rockland Pond. And then the gray area sort of in the middle of the sheet is the upland review area that is associated with the intermittent water course that we are proposing to eliminate in conjunction with this application. We turn to sheet three. Again, we have the two associated upland review areas designated in this location. And this is the soil mapping. And you can see the soil boundary is in brown. Virtually all of the activity that is proposed in conjunction with this application is located in areas of Merrimack soils. Merrimack soils are in hydrologic group A, which are well-drained to excessively drained soils, which is important because when we look at the characteristics of the intermittent water course that we're proposing to eliminate, the value of that resource is determined to a significant extent from an ecological perspective by what the source water for that resource is. And based on Robert Russo's evaluation of this system, and consistent with the Merrimack soil classification, he made a determination that there is no exfiltration occurring from these well-drained soils that contribute to the flow in that intermittent water course. So that flow is derived solely from stormwater that is collected in a closed drainage system on Carroll Drive and Sharp Hill Road and is discharged through a basin system to the 30-inch culvert that we are proposing to relocate. And that culvert is currently discharging in the middle of the property. And the discharge from that system is what has created the intermittent water course. And the intermittent water course is such because of the definition contained both in your regulations and the Connecticut General Statutes. It has a defined channel, which has been created by the outflow from the stormwater sewer system. It has evidence of scour and detritus from the flow of water out of that pipe. It remarkably does not have, even though it's been there for at least 50 years, any evidence of hydrophytic vegetation. Again, supported by the fact that it is located in well-drained to excessively drained soils. But it does have flow that lasts for a duration of more than 24 hours after the end of a storm event. And again, that flow is not resulting from exfiltration on the adjoining soils to the resource, but rather from soils uphill on Sharp Hill Road and Carroll Drive, which are largely till soils, which are discharging for a longer period of time after 24 hours subsequent to a storm event. You have reports in the file, an evaluation of the ecological value of this resource prepared by Robert Russo, and that was also reviewed by your soil scientist, Ian Cole. And both of the soil scientists concur that this resource, because of the characteristics that I have just described, have very little ecological value. What we are proposing in this application is to replace the culvert, which currently discharges in the middle of the property, and to extend that culvert further to the east and to install properly sized outlet protection at the discharge from that culvert, which will then flow into Oxbaxo Brook below the Rockland Dam. And this will prevent the scouring and the erosion, which has been going on this property for years because the current discharge has no outlet protection, and will improve the water quality that is being discharged to the primary regulated resource, which is the brook below the dam. Now, as I indicated to you at your June meeting, our tidal research has determined that this current stormwater discharge that is occurring on the property from the town's drainage system is not supported by any easement. So the town's discharge is currently unauthorized by law. We are proposing, in conjunction with this application, not only to rebuild the system to improve the water quality of the discharge, but also to grant the town a valid drainage easement that will support, legally support, the existence of those facilities on the property. The proposal is delineated on sheet 5, and what is being proposed is a trailer storage facility for box trailers that are utilized by Rand Whitney in conjunction with their manufacturing operations. Doug was probably on the commission. I don't believe anyone else was. But years ago, we submitted for approval a similar facility located on the easterly side of Rockland Pond, adjacent westerly to Robertson Road. And that storage, that trailer storage facility has been in existence there for at least 15 or 20 years. The manufacturing capacity of Rand Whitney's facilities has increased, and that facility, that trailer storage facility alone, is no longer sufficient to support their manufacturing operations. Thus, the need for additional trailer storage, primarily on the property located at 375 Maple Avenue, which is the subject of this application. In conjunction with the development of this facility, CLA has developed both a comprehensive erosion and sediment control protocol to manage stormwater runoff during the construction of the facility, and then long-term both detention and water quality treatment in order to mitigate adverse environmental impacts once the facility is completed and is operational. And you will see in reviewing the plan that there is no closed drainage system in the trailer storage facility area itself. Rather, it is designed to sheet flow, and it sheet flows into a series of grass swales. And the grass swales will transmit the stormwater runoff to three sediment forebays that are located, one at the west end of the improved site, one sort of in the middle to the east of the storage trailer facility, and the third one on the easterly portion of the improved site. Each of the systems has been designed to treat water quality in accordance with the 2024 Stormwater Quality Manual. So it's designed to treat the first 1.3 inches of rainfall in any storm event. Water enters, by virtue of the grass swales, enters the three sediment forebays, where it will attain residency time to filter out suspended solids. As the magnitude of a storm event increases, the capacity in each of those forebays will be consumed, water will rise, and they will flow through a berm into the two detention basins, or stormwater basins as they're labeled on the plan, located along the easterly side of the improved site, where both additional residence time will be attained as well as attenuation of the storm event in order to attenuate designed storm events so that the peak flow discharge from the improved site will not exceed what exists as the site is in its unimproved condition today. So, number one, all of the water generated by the improvements is being treated and handled in accordance with the 2024 Stormwater Quality Manual, and the outfall from the town stormwater system, rather than being discharged without any protection, will now be extended and protected with a riprap outlet structure to prevent the erosion that is currently occurring on the property. During construction, there is a comprehensive erosion and sediment control plan which is delineated on sheet 6 of the submission, and you will see that they have incorporated into the design 2 sediment traps to trap any sediments that may be flowing during a design storm event in an easterly direction, to trap those sediments so that they do not reach the regulated resources to the east. And the protocol requires that once 50% of the capacity of those basins has been achieved during the construction period, the contractor has an obligation to empty the sediments out and to use them either as structural fill on the site or to take them off-site in order to ensure that the erosion capacity or the erosion trapping capacity of those basins is maintained throughout the project. Now, in considering this application, you are charged with meeting the or determining that the applicant has met the permitting criteria contained both in your inland wetlands and water courses regulations, as well as in section 22A41 of the Connecticut General Statutes. And I just want to go through those criteria quickly to indicate in the applicant's opinion how we have satisfied those criteria. The first is you must consider the environmental impact of the proposed regulated activity on wetlands and watercourses. And we will submit to you that based on the investigation performed by Robert Russo and Ian Cole, the classification of the discharge from the stormwater outlet is a technical watercourse only, but does not have the intrinsic values of an intermittent watercourse or a perennial watercourse contemplated by the statute and the regulations because it is not occurring as a result of any exfiltration from the soils on the site. So what is occurring is simply the transmission of stormwater across the property from a stormwater system, resulting in some amount of erosion as that occurs and transmitting that water to Oxabaxo Brook. That carrying capacity will be continued by the proposal that's before you for consideration. It's just that rather in an eroded ditch, it will occur in an extended culvert with proper outlet protection, with the water reaching Oxabaxo Brook without any sediment-laden water, as occurs currently. But the amount of water getting to the brook and the location in which it gets to the brook, considering that the brook itself extends all the way up to Oxabaxo Lake, are substantially the same. The second criteria you must consider is the applicant's purpose for and any feasible and prudent alternatives to the proposed regulated activity, which alternatives would cause less or no environmental impact to wetlands or watercourses. With respect to that criteria, I call your attention to the charge in the preamble to the Inland Wetlands and Watercourses Act that describes the value of wetland and watercourse resources in the state of Connecticut, but also charges municipal inland wetland and watercourses commissions to balance the protection of the regulated resources against the economic development of the state of Connecticut. And that is a balancing act that the commission should engage in any application that comes before you. In this case, I will submit to you, when we talk about economic development, obviously, there is a goal to encourage new businesses to locate in town. But just as importantly as encouraging new businesses to come to town is to make sure that we accommodate the needs of existing businesses so that they remain in town. And in this instance, this trailer storage facility is a need that is dictated by the increased output capacity of the Rand Whitney manufacturing plant, that they need more trailers and more ability to store both recycled paper that is coming in for raw product as well as linerboard, which is the product that's manufactured at the mill, to go out. So let's look at alternatives. One alternative
and irretrievable loss of wetland or water course resources, which would be caused by the proposed regulated activity, including the extent to which such activity would foreclose a future ability to protect, enhance, or restore such resources. Now, as I indicated, we are proposing to eliminate several hundred feet of an intermittent water course that is sourced from the discharge from the town's stormwater culvert. However, we are of the opinion that the primary goal in rendering this property developable and managing the resources that are associated with the application is to ensure that in developing this project, we protect both Rockland Pond and Oxo Brook, rather than an intermittent water course that has no derivation other than the fact that the town is discharging stormwater on the property. And we believe that we have accomplished that. That is supported both by the evaluation of Robert Russo as well as the concurring opinion of your review soil scientist Ian Cole. The next consideration is the character and degree of injury to or interference with safety, health, or the reasonable use of property, which is caused or threatened by the proposed regulated activity. As I indicated, the stormwater management system has been designed in order to attenuate peak storm flows as a result of the improved site and to manage stormwater both as far as peak discharge is concerned and water quality is concerned. We do not anticipate that this will have any adverse impact on safety, health, or reasonable use of property. In fact, what it will do is eliminate an unauthorized discharge of water on the Rand Whitney property and render that property suitable so that it can contribute to the economic viability of the town of Montville on a piece of property that is entirely zoned in the industrial zoning district classification. And the final consideration is impacts of the proposed regulated activities on wetlands or water courses outside the area for which the activity is proposed, and future activities associated with or reasonably related to the proposed regulated activity, which are made inevitable by those activities. We would submit to you that there are none. The potential impact that could occur from this development, if it was not properly engineered, would be potential flooding downstream. I will address that in two manners. Number one, when you look at the Oxbow River drainage basin, we are fairly low in the basin. So the propensity for flooding events occurs more as a result of activities upstream than they do in this location. So discharging stormwater and getting it out of the system before the peak from further west occurs is a good idea. And secondly, the design itself does not increase the peak. So it has been designed to discharge water to the Rockland Pond Oxbow Brook system essentially the same as the discharge occurs today before any development occurs. So we would submit to the commission that the application is compliant with the permitting criteria both in the statute as well as in the your inland wetlands and water courses regulations and should be approved. Bob, I don't know if you wanted to add anything.
You covered it well. We'd be happy to answer questions.
Yeah, any questions, we'll be glad to take them. Thank you.
Any questions? I just have one question. The you're adding a catch basin on the well, the bottom of the drawing. I don't know what direction it is. The west side. You're adding a catch basin, correct? There's no catch basin there now.
I think we're replacing that catch.
There is one that's further there in the middle of the road.
Yeah, we're it's slightly being relocated. Yeah. There is a basin. We're replacing it.
Okay. The other question I have, and this, you're showing an 8-foot level spreader by the edge of Rockland Pond. Doesn't doesn't appear to go all the way to the pond. Should that be extended to go?
That is a Darren Hayward question.
For the record, Darren Hayward from CIA Engineering. We were just trying to mitigate any work within the actual wetlands, so I think you'll find from the plans that the limit of the riprap terminates at the wetland itself. We just didn't want to go into the wetland and disturb the wetland itself.
Okay. So you don't think they'll wind up with a scour there or whatever they call it?
No, the velocities that you'll be seeing flowing over that are so low that you wouldn't see any scouring. They're going to be less than 2 feet. So.
Okay.
Nothing additional to add. If the commission is inclined to approve this request by the applicant for a permit, there is a motion there. However, I will like to point out that we do need to close the public hearing prior to making a motion to approve.
Is
that
the
motion is also part of your packet?
Find my agenda. So is that? There's not a second spot on here to vote on the permit, so we do it now.
I'm sorry?
There isn't a second. In the past, we've had a public hearing. There's been further down. Just that, keeping the agenda straight. That's all. There's not another spot on here for that.
I believe there is.
There is. On the agenda?
There are two agenda items on the agenda.
Oh, I see. You just left this on the public hearing. Got it. That's a way to do it. Okay. So if nobody has any questions or any other, then we need a motion to close the public hearing.
Make a motion to close the public. So.
Any discussion? Okay, Commissioner Majewski made a motion. Crystal LeClaire is seconding it. All in favor? We've got to do a roll call vote. Crystal LeClaire?
Aye.
Mr. Rashto?
Aye.
Shaglin? Mr. Juski? I approve it, so motion carries. So the next part is discussion, decision 25 IBC 11 for 375 Maple Avenue for regulated activities in conjunction with the development of the trailer storage facility. So now Harry has to say all that again. Any discussion? I'll say I think it's a pretty decent proposal personally. And I just felt we had to do a public hearing because of the regulations. So nobody has anything? Can we get a motion? Can we get a motion to approve?
Okay, I'll do the motion to approve after giving due consideration to all relevant factors, including those in section 10 and or section 6 of the Montville Inland Wetlands Regulations and section 22A-41 of the Connecticut General Statutes. I move to approve the application number 25 IWC 11, applicant owner Rand Whitney Realty LLC for related activities in conjunction with the development of a proposed trailer storage facility and the elimination of an intermittent water course created by stormwater discharge per the application and associated documents dated June 2nd, 2025 and plan titled Site Improvement Plan Proposed Trailer Storage Facility 375 Maple Avenue / Route 163, Town of Montville, Connecticut, prepared for Rand Whitney Realty LLC dated June 2nd, 2025, revised July 11th, 2025, with the following conditions per the approved plan. 1. Invasive plant control within the area of plantings between basin number 1 and the pond shall take place for 2 years following the year of the plan implementation. Example years 1 and 2. Following the procedure promulgated by the Connecticut DEEP's Connecticut Invasive Plant Working Group, CIPWG, and/or the Nature Conservancy. Number two, the Ecologist Wetlands Professional will prepare an annual report and provide it to the Commission by November 30th of each year. Three, any required certificates and or approvals from state or federal agencies, example, Connecticut DOT, DEEP, Army Corps of Engineers, shall be obtained by the applicant and submitted to the Land Use and Development Office. Any changes to the plans required by such entities may require a plan modification from the Inland Wetlands Commission. Standard reasons for approval and standard conditions of approval apply.
Second.
Any discussion?
Nope.
The only discussion I have is where did that business about the invasive species?
That was on the plan.
It's on the plan?
Yes.
Okay, you gotta do a roll call vote. Commissioner LeClaire?
Aye.
Commissioner Roscoe?
Approved.
Approved.
Majewski?
Approve.
And I approve, so the motion carries unanimously. Thank you. The show cause hearing none. Remarks in the public not relating to items on the agenda? Any remarks in the public not relating to items on the agenda? Any remarks for public not related on agenda? All right. Old business, Noble Hill Road, owner, Oakdale, Connecticut, owner Jeffrey Phillips and Jennifer Michaels, update ongoing enforcement action. It's incorrect, Cor.
Stacy Radford, zoning and wetlands officer, for the record. An updated summary of events from the last meeting. At the last meeting of June 12, 2025, Attorney William McCoy presented to the Commission that he would be preparing an after-the-fact application to be submitted at the next meeting of July 17th, being today. And on July 8th, staff received the application, a narrative, and a copy of the wetlands report dated June 6, 2025, and May 13, 2025, a list of property abutters in a plan titled Topographic Survey with Wetlands dated May 12, 2025 and revised to June 25, 2025. Attorney, I'm sorry, this is the wrong application. So staff would recommend that this commission continue the hearing on this application until a remediation plan has been granted by this commission. And there is a motion in your packet to continue.
So this is gonna code a permit 25 IAC 14.
Nope, this will remain on.
Understood, but that's the IAC 14 is the permit.
That's the new permit.
Okay. All right.
That'll be the new application.
We'll get it then. Okay. Can we get a motion to continue?
I make a motion to continue this matter to the next regularly scheduled meeting, which is today, July 17th.
August.
My bad.
The courage should be.
Did you say August?
It
should
August
be
okay.
August 21st. My apologies.
Today. Until August.
Second.
Discussion. Thank you, Commissioner LeClaire. I made a motion. If you're going to second it, roll call vote. LeClaire. Commissioner Rashto.
Approved.
Approved. Commissioner Majewski.
Approved.
I approve. Motion carries. Little business 25 IC 12, 62 and 66 Beechwood Road, Oakdale, Connecticut. Owners Thomas McCarthy and Joseph and Raba Zizek. Applicant Town of Montville for regular activities to restore the culvert and the channel between their respective properties.
Stacy Radford, zoning and wetlands officer, for the record. The technical review comments previously mentioned in the June 12, 2025 staff report have been addressed, and documents have been provided to the town attorney for final preparation for a temporary easement for the construction and a permanent easement for rights to drain. Robert Russo is here on behalf of the applicant to answer any additional questions that the commission may have.
For the record, Robert Russo, soil scientist with CLA Engineers, on behalf of the town. With me is Darren Hayward, the project professional engineer as well. I will just remind the commission, we presented this to you at the last meeting, but just to refresh your memories, this is a stream that is carried under the road by culvert and discharges onto neighboring properties, and the downstream area has experienced some severe erosion such that the neighbor's property has been eroded, and in the case of the house at 62 Beechwood, that erosion is undercutting a part of their yard and is working its way back towards their house. And just again to remind you of what the project is, we're looking at sheet 2 of the plan set. On the right-hand side of the sheet, which would be the eastern side of Beechwood Road, there's an existing culvert that discharges. This is a perennial water course, but it's a very upward level perennial water course, so there's very low flow in the summertime. And what the plan consists of is currently filling about 674 square feet of the stream, and then regrading and doing work within a little bit over 3,600 square feet of the stream, which will remain after the project is done. The important features of this are that the culvert that's proposed will carry the output of the stream downstream of the neighbor's house that I'm indicating right here. So the neighbor's house will no longer be in jeopardy from the erosion. In addition, the plan calls for installing a more natural stream channel below that riprap plunge pool, and for regrading within the stream, placing boulders, and essentially trying to put it into a more natural state. At this point, that's a brief summary of what's going on. I know the commission had a look at the pictures and report last time, and I just want to pause here and see if the commission has any additional questions about the project.
Are you putting up a copper dam to do the downstream work?
No, the actually the plan is dewatering.
Okay.
By going around, we will pump from above the existing outlet, and we have a dewatering plan put in place so that the dewatering will discharge water downstream. And we've given and reviewed actually at the last meeting some pipe sizes to the contractor that's going to have to do this work to enable them to take. Even though we're requiring that they do it in the summertime, we're still requiring them to be able to handle a substantial amount of flow just in case there's a storm while they're working. So it is actually a pump around setup as opposed to a cofferdam.
Are there any aquatic animals that are in trouble because of that?
We have not seen any fish in this area. It's unlikely that there's much of a fish population there. We've seen some of the more common frogs out here. We've seen green frogs. We've seen leopard frogs. That's about it. I think that during the time period when we're doing it, the stream flow is going to be so low that any purely aquatic species will probably have migrated downstream already.
Are you planning on doing it this year?
That's the hope.
It's summertime right now, you know,
yeah,
and July, July and August is coming up, then we're going to be into the rainy season.
Mm-hmm. The just so that you know, although the permit has not been obtained, the project has already been put out to bid with hopes that it can be done this summer and starting shortly.
A curiosity question. I really don't have anything to do with wetlands, but you're saying they're going to get an easement. Isn't there one there already?
It's a temporary easement to use the neighbor's property during the construction. That's the
so there already is an easement.
There already is an easement, but sometimes when you're doing construction like this,
oh, I understood
you can't
that.
Manage all the equipment and everything that you need to within the existing. an easement.
Yep.
So you obtain a temporary easement from the neighbor for just the time period of the construction.
That's the last one. I was wondering if there was, because the.
Right. No, understood. Okay. That, right. On that last project, there was no no permanent drainage easement on that site. Mm-hmm. But this one, there is. However, it's what we refer to as a construction easement, temporary use of that neighbor's land during construction.
But then the original easement will change because of how. Because
it's moved a little bit? Yeah, okay. Right, I was just curious because of that last one.
End construction. So that's why we're looking for a temporary easement and a permanent easement. The town's looking at obtaining both of those.
And it's really not a wetlands issue, so. Sorry to take everybody's time. Anything else? Want to make a motion?
Okay, I'll do the motion. After giving due consideration all relevant factors, including those in Section 10 and or Section 6 of the Montville Inland Wetlands Regulations and Section 22A-41 of the Connecticut General Statutes, I move to approve the application number 25IWC12-62 Beechwood Road, parcel ID 081-050-000 and 66, oh, that was 62 Beechwood Road. I don't know if I said 62. 66 Beechwood Road, parcel ID 081-051-000, Oakdale, Connecticut. Owners Thomas McCarthy and Joseph M. and Roberta Zizek, applicant, Town of Montville, for regulated activities to restore and reinforce a section of an unnamed stream and drainage channel located at number 62 and number 66 Beechwood Road per the application and associated documents dated June 11th, 2025 and plan titled Town of Montville 62 Beechwood Road Drainage Improvements prepared by CLA Engineers Incorporated dated January 2024 with the following conditions. The temporary easements for construction and permanent easements for rights to drain will need to be executed by both property owners and recorded on land records prior to the commencement of any construction. Standard reasons for approval and standard conditions of approval apply.
Second it.
Any discussion? All right. Call vote. Commissioner LeClaire. Commissioner Roscoe.
Approved.
Commissioner Ocalini.
Approved.
Commissioner Majewski.
Approved.
I approve. Motion carries unanimously. So 25 IWC 13. 1039-163 Oakdale. Applicant Chris Cassetti. Inland Prize Logging for owner Madison Holdeyer for as right determination for timber harvest.
This is Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer for the record. This application is for an as of right determination for timber harvest in accordance with Montville Inland Wetlands and Watercourses Regulation Section 4.1.A. and CGS Section 22A-40. Under the Inland Wetlands and Watercourses Act, CGS Section 22A-40 and Montville Inland Wetlands and Watercourse Regulations Section 4.1.A, farming is a, quote, permitted operation and use, end quote. Forestry is defined as farming or agriculture under Connecticut General Statutes 1-1Q. This property is located in the WRP 160 zone on about 43.87 acres, and it contains regulated wetland and watercourses and is developed with an existing single-family residence and barns. The applicant states the proposed operation is to, quote, remove undesirable growing stock from the stand where feasible and established conditions favorable to natural regeneration, end quote. The applicant further states that the treatment will be an irregular shelter wood harvest and quote, "there will be no trees harvested from within the wetland areas," end quote. Additionally, the applicant states that there are two intermittent drainage crossings associated with this operation along the existing main skid trail. The crossings will be stabilized with portable timber mats and or corduroy during the operation and removed upon completion. All best management practices regarding timber harvesting as adopted by the Connecticut DEP shall be strictly adhered to. The amount of forest products to be harvested is 24 acres, 94,000 board feet, 120 cords, and trees to be harvested have been marked with blue paint. An estimated start date of the timber harvest operation is September 1, 2025, and duration should be approximately 1 month of good working weather. The site will be accessed from the existing driveway off of Route 163 as marked on the attached map entitled Timber Harvest Map, property of M. Holdmeyer, prepared by Chris
Cassidy,
and dated June 2025. The main skid trail is an existing woods road created from forestry and agricultural practices of years past. There is no proposed relocation of watercourses with continual flow or filling or reclamation of wetlands or watercourses with continual flow associated with the proposed timber harvest, and therefore staff recommends approval of this proposed application as an as-of-right activity. The applicant is here to answer any questions the commission may have.
Yeah, thank you, Stacey. I couldn't say it better myself. Chris Cassidy, I'm a forester certified by the state of Connecticut DEP. Here before you tonight, seeking a jurisdictional ruling for Emerald Trees Logging to conduct this forestry activity. So I don't get a chance to review the map, and I guess I'm here to field questions.
Are you doing taking firewood out too?
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to cut them with a feller buncher and then put them on a forwarder and bring it out that way, or are you skidding that whole length?
The first, this will be a cut the length operation and mechanized harvest.
So you
cut with a feller buncher.
Yep.
Ahead of a processor, which will then pick the tree
and delimit them and everything, and then bring them, put them on a forwarder and bring them up.
Okay.
Now you're bringing the mats in for water crossings, or are you going to use the existing logs?
The first crossing that you come to outside the landing is not much of a channel at all and would not be conducive to mats, so we'll probably just use corduroy there to make sure that stays stabilized. The crossing down below, where we have about 20,000 feet of wood to come across, has a nice established channel, rocky, and so we will bridge that.
Okay.
With mats, yeah.
And then what are you doing for the landing up for erosion control? Are you putting wood chips down there, or? Always starts like that until you put the skidder.
Like that. I'm not a huge proponent of wood chips because they can stick around forever and they don't make a very conducive site for regeneration. So if we did have to put some stone or gravel in that road to stabilize it where the trucks are going, we may do that ahead of chips.
And these existing trails, all the way around the back, along the back portion that trails there?
Yeah, running along the brook. You can see the old road on the map kind of goes up into the neighboring parcel, and then I think it probably goes all the way out into the Norwich Water Company parcel. That's very old road. But there is this first chute that kind of runs parallel to that back boundary to keep us high and dry from back there. And there's actually a pretty good knob, as you can see on the LiDAR image, that keeps any sediment away from that main brook that goes through there. And I left a good filter strip on all this.
How soon after you're done with the harvest do you remove the mat?
As soon as we go.
Just right away, okay.
Yeah. hospital logs if you can fit it on that, we'll look now, we'll go back and clean it up. I do like the lead sweep water away kind of on the approaches and water that would come down that skid road that tends to disappear real well. There's nothing steep enough out there that would warrant a water bar or any kind of diverting ditches. I think with the residual brush, we should be in good shape. Yes.
No problem.
Need a moment. Do you want me to read?
That's okay. You can read the rest. After giving due consideration to all relevant factors, including those in Section 4 of the Montville Inland Wetlands Regulations, in Section 22A-40 of the Connecticut General Statutes, I move to that application 23-IWC-13, submitted by Chris
Cassidy.
Cassidy, okay. Sorry. Behalf of the property owner, Madison Holmeyer, for a timber harvest, and more fully described in the application dated June 16th, 2025, and notification of timber harvest dated June 16th, 2025, with associated timber harvest map is permitted use as of right, and therefore no permit required.
Second.
Commissioner Rashto seconded?
I think he did.
Okay. Commissioner Ocalini made a motion. Commissioner Rashto seconded. We will call vote. Commissioner LeClaire. Commissioner Rashto.
Approved.
Commissioner.
Approved.
And I approve. So motion carries.
Thank you very much. I'll let you know when we
start.
Thank you. Okay. 25 IMC 14, Noble Hill Road, Oakdale, Connecticut. Owner applicant Jeffrey Phillips and Jennifer Michaels for an after-effect permit for excavation and removal of earth products within the regulated areas and a remediation plan.
Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer for the record. This application is for an after-the-fact permit for excavation and removal of earth products within regulated areas and the acceptance of a remediation plan. This property has been the subject of an ongoing wetlands violation since March 20th, 2025, and this application is being presented to this commission to correct this violation. The property is located on 62.21 acres in the R120 zoning district. The property is currently undeveloped. The wetlands on this property have been delineated by James Sipperly, certified soil scientist, on May 9th, 2025. Commencing at some point during 2019, the property owner excavated and removed earth product from this property within regulated areas and specifically within the upland review area. No permits for this activity have been obtained. The applicant is seeking an after-the-fact permit for the previous excavation and is proposing a remediation plan. The applicant is proposing to bring suitable material into the property to fill in the excavated areas, grade the area with topsoil, and seed it with an appropriate mix of seed to control and prevent erosion both in the upland review area and toward the protected wetland habitat. The applicant does not intend on removing the watercourse crossing or the 15-inch HDPE pipe. However, through the suggestion of James Sipperly, certified soil scientist, small diameter riprap will be added to form a small plunge pool at the outlet of this 15-inch pipe. The applicant proposes to remove the temporary structure that is currently being used to store two boats. The applicant proposes to conduct all work within the 2025 growing season, with monitoring being conducted by James Sipperly, certified soil scientist, for three growing seasons thereafter to ensure viability for survival. The applicant agrees to have all ENS controls installed prior to the commencement of all work, properly maintained during construction, and remain in place until all disturbed areas have been properly stabilized. This will include any stockpiled material proposed to be utilized during the remediation process. All ENS controls will be inspected at least once a week and within 24 hours of the end of a storm event with a rainfall of a half inch or greater. Attorney William McCoy is here on behalf of the applicant to present this application.
Good evening. Attorney Lee, for representing the applicant. you to do this work in the growing season. We've reached a point where probably that's not possible until the fall, but the expectation is to get that done at the most appropriate time, so that the plantings and the seed mixes can naturally germinate during the appropriate period of time. The reports of specifically from May and June are attached to this application, and I think fully describe exactly what his plan is with respect to mitigation. Again, part of the issue is to stabilize the area that's scarred, to reduce the slopes, and then at the same time, shortly after that, to introduce topsoil and seeding along the easterly portion of the property and the southwest of the portion. Part of the project is, as Stacy indicates, is that there is a tent slash structure that houses the storage of boats. That's to be removed from that area to be reseeded as well. I'm here for any questions you may have, but my expectation is that follow Stacy's recommendations, matters will continue. Application is filed as a result of our representation in which you're asking the June meetings this will happen.
Also, I'd like to point out that Bob Russo from CLA is here on behalf of the town. He also has received a copy of the application and supporting documentation. As of this time, I have not received a report back from him. However, he is here. I'm sure he'd be willing to speak if the commission has any questions of him.
Actually, my question is more for the commission. Does anybody want to do a site walk out here? I've been there, so I don't.
I've been there. I know where it is, so. Only question I have is who's going to be doing the erosion inspections after the half an inch of rain within 24 hours?
I would presume that would be Mr. Serperly on behalf of the applicant.
Is this the only plan, or is there a more complete plan set coming?
I provided to staff full scale maps.
Okay.
They're consistent, obviously, with the digital version of the scale.
Yeah. Okay. Then, can I get a motion that we move 25 C14 continue it to the next meeting?
I make a motion to continue application 25 IWC 14 Nova Hill Road, parcel ID 061-002-000, Oakdale, Connecticut. Owners applicant Jeffrey Phillips and Jennifer Michaels for an after-the-fact permit for excavation and removal of earth products within regulated areas, and a remediation plan until the next regular scheduled meeting of August 21st, 2025.
Second it.
Okay. Any discussion? All right, roll call vote. Commissioner LeClaire. Commissioner Rosto.
Approved.
Commissioner McLean.
Approved.
Commissioner Majewski.
Approved.
I approve it. Motion carries the hands. All right. Item C15, Sharp Hill Road, application, Builders LLC for a 23-lot subdivision with regulated activities.
Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer, for the record. This application was received by our office on July 11th, 2025, and staff has not had the opportunity to do a complete review of the application or supporting documents. It's been referred out to the town soil scientists and comments are pending. The applicant plans to attend the next regularly scheduled meeting of August 21st, 2025 to make a full presentation at that time.
So no one's here to answer any questions or information?
No.
Okay.
So I staff's recommending that this be continued till the next meeting.
Okay, I'll do this one. Is that okay?
Well, I just want to say this. Understand that we decide we need a site walk or something that's going to get pushed out even further. So
they are aware of that.
Okay. Well, because sometimes they come in there and like, well, planning and zoning is meeting next week.
Yeah.
Great.
For sure.
Okay.
All right. I make a motion that application number 25IWC 15-47 Sharp Hill Road, parcel ID 023-063-000, Uncasville CT, owner R&N Holding Company, LLC, applicant Mount Pineo Builders, LLC, for regulated activities within the Upland Review areas associated with 23-lot resubdivision be continued until the next regularly scheduled meeting on August 21st, 2025.
I'll second it.
Okay, Commissioner LeClaire made a motion. Commissioner Occhialini seconded it. Any discussion? All right, we'll call Commissioner LeClaire.
Approve.
Commissioner Rosto?
Approve.
I approve it. Motion carries unanimously. So, next one. 25 IWC 16, Glen Road, parcel ID, Uncasville, Connecticut, applicant owner, Ebedath Chowdhury. For construction of a single-family residence within regulated areas.
Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer. For the record, this application was received by our office on July 16th, 2025, and staff has not had the opportunity to complete a review of the application or supporting documents. It's been referred out to the town soil scientist, and comments are pending. The applicant plans to attend the next regularly scheduled meeting of August 21st, 2025 to make a full presentation at that time.
Didn't we have, or is it no longer in our regulations that applications had to be received 3 days before the meeting? Or is that no longer the case? I know the rules keep changing, that's why I'm asking.
Well, they're supposed to be brought into our office 5 days prior to the meeting. However, and that's per our regulations. However, the Connecticut General Statute says we have to accept anything that is brought into our office before the close of business.
Okay.
On the day of the meeting.
That's what I was wondering.
Wow.
It's
so
regular. Okay.
This is just for receipt purposes.
Yeah, but effectively it knocks a month off their cycle, right? Get a motion to continue.
Okay. I make a motion that application number 25IWC 16 Glen Road, parcel ID 055-051-00A, Uncasville CT, owner applicant Ebedath Chowdhury, for regulated activities within the Upland Review areas associated with the construction of a single family residence be continued until the next regularly scheduled meeting on August 21st, 2025.
Discussion? We'll call a vote. Commissioner LeClaire?
Approved.
Commissioner Rosto?
Approved.
Commissioner Kuski?
Approved.
And I approve, so motion carries unanimously. Page two. Correspondence. Draft copy of a Connecticut Deep Aquatic Pesticide Permit for a pond at 735 Fire Street, Oakdale. Invasive Mosquito Management, Mass, Connecticut. Permits for invasive plant management.
So I am not familiar with this property. However, speaking with Assistant Planner Meredith Badaluca, she indicated that this comes in periodically for them to utilize pesticides in the pond on this property.
This is a privately owned pond?
It is.
Okay.
Oh, this is the one over by Chapel Hill, Chesterfield Road there.
By Chesterfield Road.
Where they put the big barn up.
Yep. So this is just for informational purposes, just to let you know that they have applied for a permit with Connecticut DEP.
Gotcha.
Okay. So it's not really under our jurisdiction?
It's not, no. Just correspondence letting you know it came in.
Been on the commission a while. I don't recall ever seeing it. Which, not under our thing. No other business, no executive session. We need one more motion.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Seconded.
Clara made it, Commissioner Roscoe seconded it. Thank you everyone for coming.
That's a lot of paper.
I know, it's like
Thanks, Rob, you're all set.
Yeah, thanks for dialing in.
Thanks, you too.
Oh.